إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد we spoke about three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made conditional for our iman to be complete and for that we iman at all based on the ayat of Surah Tawbah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the eight things that we normally love And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you love these eight things more than Allah, more than His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more than jihad fi sabilillah. Allah said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ We mentioned the first two day before yesterday and yesterday, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I want to remind you and myself about the third condition which is وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ Jihad fi sabilillah. What is the jihad fi sabilillah that we can do as individuals? It is easy to sit and talk about the past. It is easy to sit and talk about big things. We have a lot of people who talk about how Khilafah should be established. And how we should have a Khalifatul Muslimin for the whole of the world. All of these things are easy because talking is easy. But to establish Khilafat on this 5 foot nothing body or 6 foot nothing body or whatever is in between, that is the more difficult part. To talk about establishing Khilafat in the whole world is easy. To establish that Khilafat on yourself, in your own home, in your own businesses, in your own environment, that is more difficult. And that is the jihad fi sabilillah, which is fard on each one of us, and which each one of us can do and should do, and if we don't do, we will be held accountable by Allah. So let us focus on that, not on what kings and kings should do and countries should do, and so on and so forth. Because we are neither kings nor do we run countries, but we run ourselves. And we run our own families and we run our own businesses. And therefore I want to remind myself and you that let us use this Ramadan, as we have said from the beginning, as a time to change our lives. If you think that your life is absolutely correct and does not need any change, then you can stop listening. There is no point in listening because I am going to be talking about change. And if you think that your life is such that it does not need any change, alhamdulillah, I am not saying that every life has to be changed. Maybe your life is perfect, maybe it needs no change, alhamdulillah, good for you. But if you think that change is necessary, then let us reflect and say, what change? Each one of us will have his own jihad to fight. For some people, it will be jihad against greed, against acquisition, against buying stuff. People talk about retail therapy. Who needs therapy? Somebody who is sick. So if you are going for retail therapy, it means you are sick. And you are going to find the therapy for that sickness in a mall. Then you are really sick. You are sick in your head. So some people, the jihad is to fight this need to acquire stuff. And believe me, the parents are responsible. Because if you look today at the amount of stuff that kids have, just toys. They have boxes and boxes of stuff. But the parents don't even take the trouble to teach them a very simple lesson. Sit the child down and say, pick up a toy and say, do you remember the day when you wanted this thing? How much you wanted it? This thing was worth more than your life itself. You wanted it so badly. You made my life hell, you screamed and raved and ranted and rolled on the floor and God knows what you did, foamed at the mouth, but somehow you got this thing and now this is lying unused in a box full of dust. You haven't even looked at it for so many days. So what is the life lesson that you have learned from this? How many parents do you think have this conversation with children? Because they don't even have that conversation with themselves. And that is the reason why we have 5-year-old kids and 10-year-old kids and 20-year-old kids and 40-year-old kids and 60-year-old kids, the mental level is the same. And that's why there is a saying, it's not one of mine, but it's a nice quote which says that the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. That's all. Now, somebody spends $10 on a dinky car, somebody else spends $1 million on a Ferrari. Both are equally useless. So at least do that. Sit the child down and think of yourself also. Remember and think about whatever it was that you wanted. You wanted that thing so badly, you would have, you know, sacrificed anything. Inshallah, maybe you would not have sacrificed to Iman, but almost everything else. And then, you ask, now what about that thing today? It has no value. You haven't even seen it. It's gone somewhere. It's broken. You don't care two hoots about it. So was it really that valuable when you wanted it? Did it really have that value? Or is it something that, you know, we allowed to build up in our mind? Just pure figment of the imagination. So now, if you learn this lesson, then what happens? Now and suddenly you have this, I don't know, I must have this thing. You say, no, hold on. This is a repetition of the same pattern. You know what is growing up? Growing up is to break the patterns. Life is, there is a whole theory called the theory of fractals, life fractals. And fractals are parts of a circle. And the theory says that life is a repetition of the same patterns. And we actually do an exercise. We actually do an exercise where Allah, maybe when we are sitting here in Netagaf, we'll do it one day. We get people to draw on a chart their whole life, you know, in pictures. And then we say, now try to identify the patterns. You know, you'll be surprised. You will be surprised, astonished, probably devastated to see that your entire life has been lived on two or three patterns. That's it. Same old rubbish repeated over and over and over and over and over. Because the pattern, you never learn. You never learn to see the pattern. You never learn anything. Just like a robot, just going round and round, programmed. It can only do that thing. Whatever it's programmed to do, it just does that. And you program yourself and you go. That's why people never grow. Growing up is to break the patterns of your life. Then the doors open to new things. So for some people, personal jihad is to fight that acquisitive urge. For some other people, personal jihad is anger management. We get angry. Should you get angry or should you not get angry? You should get angry. Because only somebody who is completely stupid will not be angry. Being angry is natural. What to do with that anger is the meaning of civilization. Is the meaning of civilized behavior. What to do with that anger is the meaning of culture, is the meaning of upbringing. There's a difference between how a dog gets angry and how a man gets angry. Hopefully there should be some difference. What does a dog do when it's angry? It barks, it screams, it foams at the mouth, it goes and bites somebody. And you as a human being, if you behave like a dog, then what are you? You get angry, yes, but what do you do with the anger? How do you manage that anger? That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who controls his anger is the strongest person. Not the one who is strong in terms of physical strength. The one who controls his anger. Yes, I am angry. Yes, there is a reason. I am not mad. There is a reason. Somebody did something which made me angry. I have a right to be angry. All of this is fine. Now what do I do with this anger? Do I rave and rant and scream and yell and do all kinds of nonsense, or do I manage that anger? I call the person and tell him, why are you doing this thing? Don't you know it is wrong? What benefit do you gain from this? So the person learns, you also learn. Alhamdulillah, at the end of that interaction, that person who you corrected actually has more respect for you because the way of in which you manage your anger. Otherwise, what happens? You cannot put out a fire by lighting another fire. So what happens? One of two things happens. Either the other person also gets angry and then it escalates and then it goes into blows and then it goes into maybe Allah Allah murder or something, or you break his head and he breaks your neck, and oh, that's very nice. Or maybe the other person is not powerful enough, maybe he's poor or whatever, so he can't curse you back. He can't curse you back loudly, but he curses you back and more in his heart.
And then he, you know, and then all over the place there is this image of you. This is a bloody madman, you know, look at him. What is the benefit of that? Controlling anger is personal jihad. Controlling, as I said, to be angry, you have a right. There is a reason. Control it. Because you are a human being, because you are civilized, because you didn't grow up in a jungle, because you are not a dog, because you are you grew up in a house and somebody brought you up, don't be a disgrace to your own parents. Teach your children that. This starts very early. How many small kids in our homes have we seen throwing tantrums? So when that kid is 2 years old, 3 years old, you don't mind. The same kid becomes 40 years old, it's a big problem for everybody. But you know where that started? It started in your house when the kid was 2 years old. So managing that personal anger is jihad. For some people, spending time in order to do some work of deen, spending time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is personal jihad. You go to them, you want money, tell me. Whatever you want, I will write a check. But don't ask me to come with you. No, that I can't do. I have no time. I've got this huge business. I'm running the world. The world will stop if I'm not there. Huh? That's why you don't say that, but that's what you think. So to spend some time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spend some time to study Islam, to learn the deen and so on, that is your personal jihad. It's not money. For you it's that. For some other people it's money. Not because they don't have the money, but because they don't have the heart. Their money is not in their pocket. Their money is in their heart. So pulling this money out of the heart is personal jihad. To give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ramadan generally it is easier because, you know, most of us, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us people who pay zakat instead of receiving zakat. So therefore you pay that anyway. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also changed the shayateen and so on. So there is, a little bit more freedom. So we spend, but what about the rest of the year? I always tell people, alhamdulillah, a lot of people, and alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them who are doing it. We all distribute food grains in Ramadan. Collectively, individually, so on. The question I always ask is, do people eat only in Ramadan? And what do they do for the rest of the year? 11 months they don't eat food? So if they really need food, then what are you doing? What's your plan for the other 11 months? I'm not saying what you are doing today is wrong. It's, alhamdulillah, it's very good. But are you actually solving somebody's problem on a permanent basis? Or is this only a feel-good factor? I've got some money. I give some food to somebody for 1 month. They feel, they smile, they say thank you very much. They take the food. I feel good. They feel good. Salaam alaikum. After Ramadan, who are you? Where are you? I have no idea. Do you still have food in Shawwal? Do you still have food and so on and so forth? Who knows? Who cares? Only next Ramadan you can come to me. That doesn't make sense. But we all do it. So spending money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will this problem get solved? Is if you give charity month after month after month. Not if you sit around waiting for Ramadan. No. I've always said 2.5% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made zakat. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know and I know that if you had an investment on which you were getting a 2.5% return, you don't call it an investment. You call it a big loss. Inflation is running at 15% and you are getting a return on 2.5% on that investment. That's not investment. That's a loss. So what must we do as far as the rest of the year is concerned? That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran, Allah mentioned Qarzul Hasana. What is Qarzul Hasana? It's not zakat. Qarzul Hasana is beyond zakat. So give more. Give more. Alhamdulillah, there are people who are doing it. I'm saying for each one of us, if you are one of them who is doing that, then that's not your jihad. Continue to do that. Look at the thing which is the most difficult for you to do. What is the personal jihad? I'm just giving some examples. The personal jihad is that thing which is the most difficult thing for me to do in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, it can be a very simple thing like sleeping too much. It may not look like you're sleeping too much, I am sleeping a few hours, what does it matter? It matters a lot because that is where if you are sleeping 8 hours a day, then you are kissing goodbye to one third of your life. One third of your life is being spent in a state of unconsciousness. The whole of your cover is going to be spent in unconsciousness. You want to spend some time here also? Unconscious. 8 hours a day is 1/3 of your life. Think about that. 33% of your life. Reduce your lifespan by 33% because you did not live for 33% of the time. Obviously, you need some sleep. I'm not saying don't sleep at all. I'm just saying that number of hours you sleep. And that's the reason why it is very important to sleep at the right time, because that sleep at that right time gives you the kind of rest for the mind and the body that much more sleep at another time will not give you. So for some people, personal jihad is what? Is to sleep at the right time. Simple as that. For people living in this part of the world, it is to sleep at whatever it is, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, not beyond that. Even if you are praying Taraweeh, you can sleep at 11 o'clock. Well, no problem. Even if you pray 20 rakat of Taraweeh, still by 11 o'clock you can be in bed. That's it, period. And other than Ramadan, 10 o'clock, light out time. Your personal jihad is that. Why? Because you are at 10 o'clock, you power on your computer. And then you are sitting playing some stupid game or you are browsing the net, completely useless. I tell people who browse the net, I tell them at the end of your browsing session, do two things. Number one, note the amount of time that you spent in that browsing. I will guarantee you it will be in hours, not in minutes. It will be in hours. And then sit down with a piece of paper and say, what did I learn in these hours? And if you can write down three things that you learned in that hours of browsing, hats off to you. You will not even be able to write one thing. All those hours you spent browsing the net and you did not even learn a single thing. You did not learn anything. You did not earn anything. And then on top of that, now what happens? Time for tahajjud, you are dead. And so you sleep. And then you also miss Salatul Fajr because you were too sleepy and you could not wake up. And then if you die before Zuhr, may Allah help you. Because you deliberately missed a Fard Salah. I am not sitting here to make a fatwa on whether you have Iman or you die in a state of kufr or what. Allah knows best. But I am saying that this is the stat. Am I exaggerating anybody here? Does this happen or doesn't happen? It happens, and it happens far too often. So your personal jihad is what? Is to sleep at 10 o'clock. Is to sleep at 11 o'clock. Is to sleep at that sensible time and not spend time doing this stuff. That's your personal jihad. Just pressing a button on the computer is your personal jihad. But you know how difficult that is. So I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. For each one of us, personal jihad is to do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and allow that to go over whatever pleases me. To submit, and that's why the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that your iman is not complete until you bring your desires in submission to the deen which I have brought. Until your desires become subservient to the deen which I have brought. That is personal jihad. Individual, for each one of us. And as I said, I'm not going to list down all, I'm just giving you a few pointers at what it is each one of us knows. Maybe what I mentioned, maybe one of yours, maybe you have got something completely different. Whatever it is, it's up to you. Sit down, reflect, make a note, and work on it in this Ramadan. Because wallahi, as I've said, I gave you the dalil of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do not do this, then go and wait for my adhab. If you are not going to do something for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know jihad fi sabilillah is qital. I know jihad fi sabilillah is to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a war and fight the enemies of Islam. That's true. I am not denying that. Of course it is true. And when the time comes, inshallah, we ask Allah to give us the opportunity and to go. But my submission to you is that if you cannot even turn off a computer at the right time to please Allah, if you cannot even control your tongue, then fat chance you have of going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to fight a battle, and maybe you do not even come back because you lose your life. That's absolute nonsense. You are not going to do that. When that time comes, you will run for cover, and somebody who runs for cover at that point in time is a different hukum for him altogether. So we prepare ourselves. And how do we prepare ourselves? By doing this thing. Personal jihad. Personal struggle with ourselves to ensure that our life and to ensure that our desires become subservient to the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us, each of us, make this niyyah today, inshallah, that we will identify that which is the most difficult for me to do and to do it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the power and the strength to do that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to do that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover you and me with His rahmah and enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and not allow us to live our lives subservient to our nafs. We are Abdullah. We are not Abdul Nafs. We are Ibadullah. We are not Ibadul Nafs. Let us change this thing. We are the Ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not slave of our nafs. So let us not do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to enable us and give us success in this jihad, personal jihad of ours, which is a jihad against our own desires, a jihad against our own destructive habits, a jihad against our own tongue and our own actions, so that we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.